welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York, New York. Mm-hmm. How you doing today, David?
I'm good, good. I'm up on the Mount Zion today.
Yeah, I see that. That's cool. I like that picture a lot. That's really good. Which is a good reminder, if you guys are not watching us in video form, you can always do that. Just go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net, and there you can find this episode as well as every other episode we got in both video and audio libraries. I think we got three video libraries now, so you know, no problem in finding the show, that's for sure. David, before we get going, you want to go ahead and pray us into the show?
Oh, sure do.
All right.
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, in your mighty throne. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share your word and be your ambassadors. We ask that this will go forth and be a seed, because your word says that your word does not come back void. So as we send this out, we expect a planting, a growing, and a harvest. So we give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm 100% behind that. That's the whole reason for the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take a look at what we plan to talk about today. We'll start off with the Russian-Ukraine update, then we'll move over to Pakistan and India. We haven't talked about them before, but things are heating up there, and we need to discuss it. We have a Middle East update, of course, and then we're going to get into the story I really want to talk about today, which is restoring American justice. There's a lot of things going on right now that you may or may not be aware of, depending on which news source you listen to. Which is another reason that you need to tune in to us, because we give you the unfiltered, uncensored truth instead of taking a political biased position on that.
And cool stuff that you haven't heard about.
Yeah, for real. All right, well, let's just start it off right away here, and we're going to go with the update here from Russia and the Ukraine.
Ukrainian President Zelensky, on April 22nd, reiterated his opposition to recognizing Moscow's sovereignty claims over land that Russian forces have taken from Ukraine. This coming after the U.S. government recently presented a proposal to end the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war. The White House has yet to confirm details of the proposal, but Vice President J.D. Vance has indicated the plan would freeze the fighting along the current territorial lines. That would, in effect, compel Ukraine to cede some of the territory it has lost to Russia. Zelensky then reiterated his position that Ukraine would not legally recognize Russia's claims to any territory it has seized from the Ukraine. This despite the fact Russian forces first took over Crimea in 2014. Russia then launched its most intense aerial assault on Kyiv this year, deploying 145 drones and 70 missiles, including 11 ballistic missiles, resulting in 12 fatalities and over 60 injuries. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky condemned the attacks, asserting that Russia aims to demoralize Ukraine and distract from its ground offensives. Simultaneously, U.S.-led peace negotiations have reached an impasse. President Donald Trump criticized Zelensky for rejecting a proposed settlement that would recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea and freeze the conflict along current front lines. Trump then indicated a shift in strategy, stating that U.S. negotiators would now engage directly with Russia.
Okay, well, demoralize them? I think they're pretty much demoralized already. They've been losing now for, what, 3 years? I don't think any of that's going to make much of a difference at all.
I think our narrator needs a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he does. We got some slow, yeah, talking. Yeah, go ahead, David. We need to talk about everyday dose every now and then. Go ahead. Let people know.
I like it because it doesn't give you the jitters. I had coffee yesterday. We went to a baby shower, and it was a coffee from the local store, which was tasty and all, but it's the same thing that where I got away. The everyday dose tastes like a regular coffee, even though it's got the mushroom stuff in it. And they're just making it better and better, but it doesn't give me the jitters, and I get like all nervous and say things I don't really want to say.
Right.
I have the regular coffee.
I got mine too. You know, and yeah. It's really good, let me tell you. So
I just noticed the difference. I used to just have coffee all the time. And and then now I'm actually noticing the difference. And it's like, oh, no wonder I was obnoxious. Yeah. So that dude needs a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it'll give you that boost.
Let's see if we can't find some better characters to do the news from now on. Anyway, David, you had some more information there on Russia and the Ukraine that maybe people have never heard before. You want to go ahead and let people know?
Well, there's cool stuff. There's the same stories always come around, and we've heard these stories. Like Solomon said, 3,000 years ago, he says there's nothing new under the sun. So imagine how much more there's nothing new now. So check this out. You remember in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar is having a party. He takes all the stuff from the temple. Mm-hmm. And then they're getting wasted over there. And all of a sudden he sees a hand come out of nowhere. just a hand.
Just the
and
hand.
Starts writing on the wall. Not even like on a scroll or anything. He's just writing on the wall. Can you imagine him sitting there and he's going like this? And the Bible basically says, and Belshazzar crapped his pants and his knees were knocking together.
Mine would be too if I saw something like that.
And he's like, what does it mean? What does it mean? They call all the astrologers and they can't do any good because they're from demons. But Daniel comes in and he's like, you are an idiot, Belshazzar. you're nothing like your father was, because apparently, by all intent and purposes, Nebuchadnezzar was became saved, because he actually wrote some of Daniel as well, and then repented. So it looks like that. I wouldn't be surprised to see Nebi up in heaven. But Belshazzar, he's like, you're nothing like your grandfather, and I'm not going to do this for all the gifts that you're offering me. Keep your gifts. But here's the deal. Many, many Tekel Ufarsi, something like that. But basically, it was a code. The in Hebrew, they'll write things in different ways, and sometimes they'll write it backwards on purpose, just so people that know that you're supposed to read it backwards. And people who don't know that can't read it. And that's why he couldn't read it. But and it's like, no, this is what it says. He says, you have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. In other words, you're done. At that moment, when they were doing that, Cyrus was actually diverting the river. So they had a river that went underneath, right?
Okay.
And then that's how they got the water into the city, but it was a protection. You couldn't get in. So Cyrus says, well, we'll just divert the river. So he dries up the river, and while they're all partying there with God's temple, instruments of all gold and everything. So he's using God, and God's like, okay. And then he calls Cyrus his servant, and he wrote it 100 years beforehand, like in Isaiah. And so Cyrus is like, my name. How do you write my name 100 years ago? So he dries up the river, and they all just climb underneath. They just walk into the city, and they're all partying and wasted, so they don't even know. Right. And they just all of a sudden they're in there, and they took over the whole city. Okay? So there's that story. Well, check this out. Back in March, the Russian forces here, they executed a daring operation known as Operation Stream. So here's what they did. They navigated through an unused gas pipeline. So they climb into this pipeline, similar to the way they dried up the river, and they went into the Ukrainian positions near Sudzna.
Came up behind them.
Right in the Kursk region. This way they did. And basically allowed the Russian soldiers to just show up behind the Ukrainian lines. So they're all confused. And that's why they started to run away. So this was contributing to the retreat from the areas. Some of them were like, they got suffocation and stuff. It's a gas line and methane poisoning door. But it's the same idea.
Yeah.
They just kind of like snuck in under that pipeline there. So that's pretty interesting.
Funny thing is, is Putin, he's talked a lot about the Bible. I wonder if he's read this or if some of his people have read this and said, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a Christian, by the way, people. I'm not.
No, but he's going to take that. Like Cyrus, you know, God said, Cyrus is my servant. And he's like, who is this God you're talking about?
Right.
So you got the same thing. And then what Russia's doing is they're actually stealing kids from the occupied territories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And indoctrinating them into being Russians.
Right. Yeah, that's...
So that's interesting. I don't know, because that's just a report. So I imagine it is being done, but I don't imagine, I don't know for certain whether it's as nefarious as they say.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just, you know, orphan children, so they just take them home and bring them up. Mm-hmm. Could be.
Well, kind of on that topic, I saw some reports this week where they were interviewing citizens in Crimea, which is a disputed area there between Russia and Ukraine. Russia took it in 2014 by force, and they were just interviewing, you know, people on the street, and most of them said that they saw themselves as Russian, that they wanted to be a part of Russia. Now, there were a couple, you know, I would say probably 10% of those that were interviewed that said that they wanted to be back in the Ukraine. But for the most part, and I'm not exaggerating, about 90% of them were saying that they wanted to be Russian citizens. So, you know, but Zelensky doesn't want that. He wants them back. So, you know, that's one of the sticking points there.
Yeah, so that becomes a question. Who's actually forcing people? Because I've seen videos of Ukraine actually going and sending soldiers to steal some young Ukrainian men and force them to fight when they don't want to.
Right.
So who's doing the forcing here?
Yeah, well, you know, Russia's got almost an unlimited supply of military, and Ukraine don't, you know, and they count on us. Almost 100%. All right, we're going to move on here with India and Pakistan. We got a report on this one.
A terrorist attack in Bizaran Valley, near Pahalgam in Indian-controlled Kashmir, resulted in the deaths of 26 civilians, including 25 Indian tourists and one Nepalese national. India accused Pakistan-based militants of orchestrating the assault, leading to a series of retaliatory measures. Revoking Pakistani visas, expelling diplomats, suspending trade, and halting the Indus Waters Treaty. Pakistan denied involvement and responded by closing its airspace to Indian flights and suspending the 1972 Simla Agreement. Both nations have exchanged threats, raising fears of a broader conflict between the nuclear-armed neighbors.
Okay, now, India and Pakistan, David, at one point were in the same country under the...
they're both Indian.
Yeah, under the British, what was it called? The Commonwealth?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they were a part of that, and this is where Mahatma Gandhi comes into play. And, you know, he was trying desperately to get India to become a country, and he envisioned it as one India. But that wasn't what happened. Instead, they divided it and made the Hindu India and Pakistan Muslim two separate countries. And they have disputed their border ever since, I believe. And I know they're not very well. I know they don't like each other. But now, as a result of that, what India called terror attack against India inside Indian borders, they decided to close off a river which allows Pakistan to have water. And Pakistan has called that an act of war. Mm-hmm. So here we go. They are nuclear countries, and we could have a nuclear exchange, even though, I don't think it's likely at this point, but it's not out of the scope of possibility. What do you think about all that, David?
Yeah, well, they're actually the same. They're all the same people. They just they got, you know, some said, hey, I want to be Hindu, and some say I want to be Muslim. Lesser known thing is that a very large section of India is actually Christian, you know, and everything's Joseph this and Joseph that because there's a Joseph that went over and evangelized.
Right.
So everything's a Saint Joseph. But yeah, it is a huge section of India, you know, and there's, I think they got more people than China now.
They do. Yeah, they did surpass India in population. I mean, China in population. That's incredible, considering the sizes of the countries too.
Yeah, and so they're just same people, and they're just fighting. Where am I trying to go with that? So the war is basically coming out, and that I believe, this is just one of the other things too. There was a dude that thinks he's the Mahdi that's coming out too, from over there. Have you heard of Abdullah Hashem Abba al-Sadiq?
Nope, but you can tell me about him.
Well, there's this savior dude that comes out in Islam, and he's remarkably the same description as the Antichrist in Revelation, because he lives in a cave, you know, and he causes everybody to have a mark so they would know who he is. It's crazy when you see.
You know, I think I have seen something about that on one of my news feeds. Mm-hmm. There were some people that were replying to it saying, no, this isn't the Antichrist, because the Antichrist won't be revealed until, you know, after the rapture.
Right. And, he's the second of 12 Mahdis.
Okay. Okay.
All right. But it just follows the same lines, and that's kind of where I was going. So there'll be many who come and say, I am the Christ.
Right.
Come and follow me. Uh-huh. And they believe that this is the Messiah. For them, it's the Messiah.
Yeah.
But he has the same thing. He's riding a white horse. He comes out, you know, he's got the mark. And whatever he says goes like he's allowed to supersede whatever's written.
Mm,
so it's okay. Like whatever he says, if it's not in their Quran, what he says goes. If it's not the Bible, whatever he says goes. So he could just make up new laws as he goes.
Wow,
and that's an interesting description. But he's just another Muslim dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you said that, you know, if it's not written in the Quran, if it's not written in the Bible, then you go by what he says.
Yeah, he's able to supersede it. In other words, the Bible says just don't kill people, and he says, no, you're allowed to kill people now, and then they just do what he says.
Well, I hate to bring it up in that context, but we were going to talk about the Pope anyway. His funeral was today.
The poop.
And honestly, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because I'm not a Catholic, my understanding is that when the Pope, who is considered to be Jesus Christ on earth or whatever they want to call it,
the vicar,
he can override the Bible, or he can rewrite scripture, which is not good. You know, no man can do that. And that's all a Pope is a man. But that's kind of the same difference, right? I mean, it's about the same as what you were talking about.
It's the same, and if I'm reading everything correctly, there'll be the guy who comes, and there are those who believe this Mahdi will actually be the Antichrist. But then my question would be, why would the Jews accept him?
Yeah, it's got to be something. He can't come. You know, people were saying Erdogan in Turkey was the guy, and I have heard again from many Jews saying that, you know, no Jew would ever recognize a Muslim as being the Messiah. That would never, ever happen.
So I'm going to surmise here that, you know, he's going to be a Jew, but for some reason the Muslims will accept him as the Mahdi, because he's going to do these miracles, and they go, oh, he is the one, you know, because, you know, the Quran was founded, if you would, from stealing stuff from Moses and whatnot. And they kind of use it on there, and they misinterpret it. But they do that on purpose. That's what the devil does. He can only twist existing things. He can't make anything new.
Yeah.
So I think he'll probably come from there. And I am quite certain that whomever is Pope at the time will be the false prophet. You know, because even this one, Petrus Romanus, he's supposed to be Petrus Romanus. We'll see if the next one is. But he was saying, oh, you know, when Messiah comes and we just have to, you know, do what he says. And,
yeah.
and he's saying all the same stuff. And we have to worship him as Messiah. So whatever's written just goes out the window is basically what he was saying.
Well, when you think about it, though, the church is out of the way. So for the most part, people will not have understood, at least, the Bible. Some may have not, many may have never even heard of it or read it a single time. So anything that comes out of this new Savior's mouth, they're going to think it's true because of all of the miracles that he's able to perform. And I'm thinking that one of the reasons why the Islamic nations might go along with a Jew is simply because he was able to bring peace between the countries. And, you know, if he could do that, then maybe he's the guy, you know, because you look back over not only decades, but you look back over centuries, if not millennia, at these people not getting along. So if you've got somebody, whether he's a false prophet or not, that's able to steer peace in there, you know, that might be a reason for him to believe in him. That's
just a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, I see the same thing. I mean, here in Brooklyn, they got, like I say a few times here, they got like signs all over the place. They get the stickers, they put them on the poles, and it's the Messiah's here, you know, and they got this old Hasidic Jew guy with the hat, you know, he's got the black hat, the girl with you, and the big long gray beard. He's like, you know, he's looking all wise.
Have you ever seen this guy in person? Have you ever seen him in person?
No.
I don't think I've ever asked you that.
They kind of hide them at that point because they got their own police force and everything, and they hide them.
Yeah, and plus it would be kind of dangerous for him, right? I mean, if he
was
out.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why they hide him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
But the point is, if he was a Messiah, why do you need to put stickers up all over the place?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he just be the Messiah and everybody would know?
Take over. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's the same thing with his Abdullah guy, you know, and his mother was American. So I don't know how they see, you know, his father was Egyptian. His mother was American. So how does that fit into their narrative?
How does it add up?
He's got a whole YouTube channel. The Mahdi has appeared.
Oh, like, boy.
Well, if you're really the Mahdi, you probably don't need a YouTube channel.
For real. even though it wouldn't violate their community standards, I can tell you that.
So he's the one that's pushing the fake narrative. But this is the interesting part because it's going to go along with the narrative. Okay. Islam is the religion of peace, you know, and it's an advocate for a universal spiritual path. So there's the mark of the beast, the religion of peace, and that's the white horse. The white horse comes and he brings a bow, and everyone thinks that's like a bow and arrow. No, boop. It's like the rainbow that we originally had, which was the promise of God's peace. So he brings this false peace, okay? So it just fits a narrative. He's riding a white horse, and he has a bow, but doesn't say anything about arrows. So, and he conquers by peace. So this guy is probably not the real one, but he's laying the groundwork for one who's going to come and say, oh, it's the religion of peace.
Yeah.
And that's how he's going to conquer everyone, by claiming it's a religion of peace. And then when they finally all lay down their weapons, he's going to say, surprise!
Right. Okay, I want to jump in on this one also, because today, as I said, they did have the Pope's funeral, and we're not going to get into that deeply.
Did you see the weapons they got over there?
No, I didn't.
They're like Star Wars weapons. Like,
oh, really?
Big, cool. Yeah, it's like it's something you'd buy your little boy. And I said, "What do they got in there?"
Well, I just wanted to mention real quick that President Trump and Zelensky met briefly at the at the Pope's funeral. And it's supposed to be a quick meeting. I've seen pictures of them sitting together or whatever. It looks like Zelensky's wearing the same outfit he did when he showed up at the White House. But anyway, when the meeting was over, both sides described it as a good meeting. They didn't say it was great. They didn't come to any agreements that I know of. And then there was also mention of they intend to meet again after the funeral, because when they met, it was right before the funeral.
Right.
So everybody was waiting to see what happened. And after the funeral, President Trump got in his limousine, drove to Air Force One, and got out of there. He didn't meet with him again. So, you know, take from that whatever you want to take from that. Go ahead, David.
I think Trump, as a deal maker, probably said, okay, here's what you're going to do. You get, say, three Hail Marys. You know, and send us our money back, and that's your penance.
Well, I know he said that they were 3 weeks late on this mineral deal. You know, he sent them. They've sent them the paperwork, I guess, whatever that is. And so far, Zelensky is 3 weeks late, according to the president, on getting that back to him. And that's really their only way to survive, as I see it, because if they sign that minerals deal, I wish I could remember the name of the thing, but anyway, if they sign that, then that means American citizens are on the ground in the Ukraine, and that would cause Russia to think twice before they went in, or it might provoke Russia into making a decision that they might not otherwise make if it was found out that Americans were on their way to the Ukraine. I mean, you can look at it both ways,
right? Yeah, beforehand, yeah. Like, oh, sorry, that mine was exploding.
Yeah. Talk about explosions now. Breaking news, there was a huge explosion in Iran today, and Israel came out really quick and said, we had nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, then they 100% did. It was
I mean, it was huge. It said it was so big that the ground shook for miles. So I don't know what blew up.
A nuclear plant?
I'm sorry?
Was it a nuclear plant or something?
No, it wasn't nuclear, but it was some type of a plant. I'll look it up during the break, and that way I can get that information to people. I said that just happened today, and as I said, the Israeli government's already come out and said they had nothing to do with that. Okay, David, you want to go ahead and finish us out on this half of the show, and then in the next half we'll get into Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, Yemen, all that, and a little bit of U.S. news, too.
Yeah, they 100% did. Yeah. All right, but in the meantime, if they decide to do it here or in your neighborhood, you need to receive the Lord before that happens.
Amen.
So I would suggest that you accept his offer of salvation, so he'll pay for your sins, so you don't have to, because that's a pretty scary thought. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Be blessed.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas. Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, we were talking about this stuff going on in Russia and Ukraine, and then we got into, just mentioned, Iran, the explosion there. And I told you I was going to look at it, and we both had during the break. This happened at the Shahid Rajah port in Bandar Abbas or something like that. Anyway, you had some information there that you uncovered. You want to go ahead and let everybody know, and I can tell you guys, you're never going to hear this on any other source. I guarantee it. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, we find all the cool stuff,
right?
It's interesting in the background. They only tell you what they want you to hear in the military. Mm-hmm. But this port, Shahid Rajahi, something like that, situated near some installations operated by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Remember those guys?
Revolutionary Guard? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So the concern is basically about potential security implications, especially given the port's strategic location near the Strait of Hormuz. Mm-hmm. And that's where they ship all the oil through. Okay. So wondering what's that. Now, Israel says they had nothing to do with it, but, you know, Mossad always says that. and I wonder how many people died there, and I don't even know.
I'm not sure about the number of people that were killed, but it said that it injured hundreds. So it was a significant explosion.
Yeah. So the point being is, if it was just an accident, it would have killed a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, and these fine tuned things, Israel is notorious for blowing things up with trying not to hurt civilians.
Right.
So, and it also, this has, I think this would ties in with it. It's got a link to missile fuel shipment. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just blowing up the missile fuel so they can't send any more missiles to, you know, to Israel.
Well,
and makes sense to me.
They got on here that eyewitness videos showed a reddish, huge smoke that were coming from the site, which suggested involvement of specific chemical compounds.
Yeah, sodium percolate.
Yeah, whatever that is, which is,
it is a missile fuel.
Yeah. That was good. Did you have more on that, David?
Mm-hmm. So they just got this from China in March.
Okay.
Which is why it hasn't blown up before.
Right.
They just got it.
Yeah, right.
So, and they were probably waiting for a time when all the workers weren't in there or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it's, again, Iran, they don't really have OSHA over there. So
right.
it could very well have been an accident, but it is highly coincidental that it just happens to be missile fuel.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's about the nuclear negotiations that are going on.
Yeah, that are going on right now. And then also in 2020, it said that there was a targeted cyber attack, which was attributed to Israel, which, again, shows its significant strategic vulnerability there. So anyway, no, I don't put it past Israel to do it. They like you said, they denied it, but, you know.
I would expect them to do it. I'd be I'd be disappointed if they didn't do it.
Me too. Yeah. Israel's going to do all they can to slow them down on that nuclear program, you know.
Well, yeah, and it's not just because they're like, I hate you, I'm going to blow up your stuff. It's mm-hmm. they're just trying to survive.
Self-defense.
They're blowing up the things that you're attacking them with.
Right. Self-defense is all it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving right along here, we got Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, Yemen,
Israel
all that
Defense
kind of good
Forces,
stuff.
IDF, reported the elimination of a Hamas terror cell in the southern Gaza Strip, during which an IDF reservist was severely wounded. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes targeted terrorist tent camps in Gaza, resulting in at least 29 deaths, also including emergency workers and a UN employee. In Lebanon, tensions escalated as Hezbollah launched rockets into northern Israel, prompting Israeli retaliatory strikes. The situation remains volatile, with growing fears of a wider regional conflict. In Yemen, Houthi rebels launched a missile toward Israel, which was intercepted before entering Israeli airspace. The Houthis stated that the attack was in solidarity with Palestinians amid Israel's military actions in Gaza. This incident underscores the expanding reach of regional conflicts and even broader escalation. In other terrorist-related news, former Taliban commander Haji Najibullah pled guilty to charges related to hostage-taking and providing material support to terrorists. The U.S. Department of Justice stated that Najibullah's actions resulted in the deaths of U.S. service members and civilians, highlighting ongoing efforts to hold terrorists accountable.
Okay, I do believe that they're beginning to hold terrorists a little bit more accountable now.
I think so.
Under the Biden administration, about the only thing I ever heard him say in regard to anything overseas was don't. Just, you know, that was it. A one-word response of don't without any explanation of exactly what would happen if they did, you know.
Whereas, I told you to don't.
Yeah, whereas President Trump says don't or. Yeah, there's a huge difference there. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah, because it's a useless threat. I still go back to Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam. Remember?
Right.
He says, "Hey, get across this line." Steps up, and now this one. And finally,
right.
He puts a line on the edge of a cliff, and then he jumps off the cliff. I don't know why. I just remember that. It's just a useless line that they make.
That's okay.
Oh, you violated our line? Well, here's, $100 million in cash.
Yeah, I never understood how come we sent Iran cash, you know, but, I mean, that was under Obama,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, Obama's a Muslim, that's why.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, he claimed to be a Christian, but I've seen no evidence of it at all in anything. Now, you guys noticed when we came on, this was the title screen today, which is Restoring American Justice. And I really want to get into that because I do believe that that's what's going on in the United States right now. At least the attempt is being made. And we'll talk about that a little bit here in just a minute. We're going to start off with the U.S. news and then we'll get to it. It kind of leads into it. So let's listen to this one real quick here.
Leftist protests erupted across the United States this week, with the most paid demonstrators rallying against President Trump's policies. These events were held in mainly liberal cities, including New York, Washington, and San Francisco, focusing on issues such as immigration, climate change, and perceived threats to democracy. President Trump this week signed an executive order aimed at restoring equality of opportunity and meritocracy, emphasizing the need to eliminate unlawful discrimination and ideological overreach in federal programs. In a related development, the U.S. House of Representatives passed legislation to limit the power of federal judges to issue nationwide injunctions. This measure, to be included in the upcoming reconciliation bill, is a move seen as an effort to curb rogue judges from obstructing the administration's agenda. Additionally, Senator Tom Cotton called for the Supreme Court to rein in federal judges who act as policymakers rather than impartial jurists. In other legal news, the FBI arrested a Milwaukee, Wisconsin County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan, alleging she interfered in immigration operation. FBI Director Kash Patel said the Bureau believed the judge intentionally misdirected federal agents seeking to arrest an undocumented immigrant and placing the lives of ICE officers in jeopardy.
Okay, there was a lot to that. We'll start with, first of all, I guess the arrest first. Because that's something that's got Democrats up in arms because they arrested a judge But the FBI...
Yeah, they got no problem arresting him as a president of
right,
the United States.
Right,
but an activist judge, oh, what are you doing?
Right, and...
What else
you know,
they got?
She found out that no one is above the law. That's what the Democrats keep screaming. Nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're not either. You know, that mm-hmm. would be my reply to that. But anyway, this judge supposedly got in the way of everything and put people's lives in jeopardy and all that, and found out that she's not above the law. But the big one I want to talk about, though, is the fact that they are including in the reconciliation bill some information about how these low-level federal judges will no longer be able to stop presidential executive orders. That they're a district judge and they're going to be able to operate in their district, but they're not going to be able to mandate everything across the United States. I think that's a good thing, but that's my opinion. What do you think, David?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like me coming and telling you what to do in your house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't know where that even came from to begin with or why we even listen to them. You know, they say, oh, well, we're going to block that. Well, that's nice. That's cute. You know, you keep trying that. We're going to go ahead and do what we're supposed to do. Yeah. Who listened to them to begin with? You know,
It went over 100 years without it being invoked once. And then it's been invoked a few times in the last few years, but not to this degree. The number of cases that have involved President Trump are greater than all of these other presidents combined over the entire history of our country. So, you know, that tells you that they're obstructionists, that they're biased.
Well, they're 100% biased, because what's happened is they are the NGOs that he is defunding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're paid off by the powers that be. They don't want to lose their money, number one, and they don't want to get arrested like mm-hmm. they are getting arrested now, because they will be. And, you know, if they find it's actually treason, you know, then they got even some bigger problems.
Yeah.
So they're desperately, it's like a rat backed in a corner. He knows he's a rat. He knows he's nasty and disgusting, but mm-hmm. they're still going to try and fight for their life and do anything that they can possibly do. And, you know, they're corrupt to begin with. So do you expect them to do anything less corrupt now?
No, right.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I find it funny, though, because now that same judge, they got a picture of her and she's all like pompous in her judge suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one next to it is her. And she's got this like Jabba the Hutt face and she's crying and she's wearing an orange jumpsuit. I said, well, how appropriate that color is.
Well, that, you know, and that is key right there, David, because she wasn't charged by the local police department or by mm-hmm. the state bureau or anything like that. She was charged by the FBI and put into federal custody. So in other words, she knew she had no hope, because guess who's in charge of the DOJ ultimately? Mm-hmm. His name is President Donald John Trump, and mm-hmm. she's screwed.
Oh yeah, 100%. But I just love the color orange on her. It just looks mm-hmm. so nice.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few others.
Orange, man. There's an orange suit for you.
I think there's going to be a few others like that.
And the Babylon Bee came out, and they got her. Oh, Judge Durhan is found hiding 17 other illegal immigrants under her robe.
Well, I got another story that leads right into that one. So mm-hmm. let's listen. Listen to this one real quick.
Dugan isn't the only judge to get hit with an arrest this week. Former New Mexico magistrate Judge Joel Cano and his wife, Nancy Cano, were taken into custody Thursday on charges of tampering with evidence amid allegations they harbored Christian Ortega Lopez, an alleged illegal immigrant believed to be a member of Venezuela's notorious Tren de Aragua gang. Attorney General Pam Bondi said, "No one's above the laws in this country. And if you are destroying evidence, if you're obstructing justice, when you have victims sitting in a courtroom of domestic violence, and you're escorting a criminal defendant out a back door, it will not be tolerated, and it is a crime in the United States of America. Doesn't matter who you are, you're going to be prosecuted." She then went on to say, "I think some of these judges think they are beyond and above the law, and they are not, and we're sending a very strong message today," she said. If you are harboring a fugitive, we don't care who you are. If you're helping hide one, if you are giving a TDA member guns, anyone who is illegally in this country, we will come after you and we will prosecute you. We will find you.
Yep, and they're doing it. You know, and this is something that's completely new. It's something that they said they were going to do, so it shouldn't surprise anybody except the Democrats that don't think it's going to happen, but they're finding it out that it will happen. But anyway, do you have any comments on that judge? Because, you know, he was caught with an illegal actually in his home.
Yeah, he's actually had him harbored in – who put this microphone here? they actually have him in the house. Can you imagine – you are a judge harboring not just an illegal immigrant, but like
a gang member
who's guilty of all murder and stuff. But now he put his wife in jeopardy. Now his wife is locked up.
Right.
So, I mean, that's got to hurt him more than even him being locked up.
And again, it's federal custody. Again, federal, David, federal. You know,
people have been complaining. I see, Trump's in office. How come the arrests aren't happening?
They're starting.
Here's the deal. It doesn't just happen overnight. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to arrest you now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and prove all of this stuff.
They're building the case.
Yeah, building the case. That's the term. Mm-hmm. So they have to build the case. They have to, you know, get it all out. Imagine the uproar if they just went in and just said, okay, you're under arrest now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Well, here's the case. Here we found her. Here she is, you know, escorting a criminal out the back door of her, you know, judge's chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have something to arrest them for.
Right.
And the same thing. Now you got a judge. They got this guy in his house. Okay. Now you have something to arrest them for. But that's a good thing. They're actually starting to make the arrest. So imagine this is going to domino quite rapidly here.
Well, I think so too. And I don't know if you can look it up real quick, David, because I don't have access to this, but James Carville, just do a quick research on James Carville.
The ice cream?
No, James Carville, like the Democratic strategist, famous for It's the Economy, Stupid, under Bill Clinton. He made some comments this week, which I looked at them and I thought that he was actually talking about assassinating the president of the United States indirectly. He didn't come up and say, I want him assassinated, but he said it's time for us to take action. And the way I read it, it was almost like he was inviting something bad to happen. And the reason I'm bringing that up is in relation with these judges. They're being arrested for actually doing something to try and prevent ICE from doing their job. It looks like Carville is trying to do something that would actually impact the country. And, you know, he hates Donald Trump. He's made no secret of it. And I'm just wondering if you were able to find anything on that
Yeah, and basically it says in the episode of Politics War Room podcast, he questioned whether Americans should wait until Trump becomes Hitler before taking action.
That's it.
I don't see where that is. I mean, where is he saying, okay, Jews have to wear a yellow star? I don't see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, not me either. Go ahead.
What he did is in his own mind, emphasize the importance of recognizing early signs of authoritarianism and urge proactive measures to prevent democratic backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to point to that too. I mean, they're Democrats, so they like democracy.
Mm-hmm.
But democracy is not a good idea.
No.
Okay.
No, that's majority rules.
They just call that. Yeah. And it's basically mob rule.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if you have 51% of the people that say, you know, XYZ type people have to die, then that's, you know, now you got 49% of the population has to die because 51% said so. It's really dangerous.
Right. It is. Mm-hmm.
But they use this term and then it's even in their name, democracy. Oh, this is a democracy. It's not a democracy.
No.
there has to be checks and balances in there. You can't just have a mob rule. And then, you know, and that has creeped into the church as well.
It has.
You know, the Laodicean church is basically this democracy. Mm-hmm. You got, oh, here's a board. We're going to vote on what happens here. And then they have like the CEO is the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And they set it up all as a democratic corporation, which it mm-hmm. is not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a monarchy. The king says what happens and everyone's supposed to do what he says. And it's as simple as that. Now, because there are monarchies like in, you know, our buddy Mark over there, there's a monarchy there,
mm-hmm.
But they still have a representative government.
Right.
That they use because they understood a while ago, okay, the monarchy could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
King yeah. Henry the Eighth, remember
mm-hmm.
him?
Mm-hmm.
Henry the Eighth, I am. So he just beheaded everyone who disagreed with him. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, we kind of got to fix this.
Yeah.
But when you have the perfect righteous king that's coming, it's a monarchy and you're going to do what he says or else. So we are not a democracy, okay? Mm-hmm.
Constitutional republic.
Yes, a constitutional republic. So we vote people in who will actually create and vote the rules and everything out. And then if there's a problem with them, we could vote them out. So it gets that layer of buffer
mm-hmm.
That allows for righteousness to come in and for the minorities not to be oppressed.
Well,
anytime they talk about democracy, you're like, okay, they're off the deep end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they scream democracy a lot, and I don't think any of them understand that it's
dangerous.
A constitutional.
There are democracies.
Yeah, I don't think any of them understand it's a constitutional republic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like any of them ever read the Constitution, you know. It's really kind of sad. But I want to get back to Carvel's thought there on Hitler. Now, you saw where... a few weeks ago, Elon Musk put his hand over his heart, threw his hand up, waving at the crowd, and they called it a Hitler salute. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so all these people are always talking about Hitler, Donald Trump is Hitler and all that. Who are the ones that are screaming about, we got to get rid of the Jews? We want to kill the Jews. Who are the ones that do that? I believe they've got a capital D next to their name, and I believe that they're protesting all across the United States as uneducated idiots. What do you think?
Yeah, they really are. And but that's what the devil does. And that is specifically what Marxists are taught to do,
mm-hmm.
is to create all this chaos and do something absolutely ridiculous and blame your adversary.
Right.
Doing exactly what you're doing, and that's called gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, the people are confused, so now their brain is trying to figure out what the world you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and then they can shove all sorts of other crap in there because your brain's busy over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's precisely what they do.
Well, you know, they are taking the anti-Semitic stance. There's no doubt about that. If as a matter of fact, the university there, Harvard, they're actually trying to take Trump to court because of the fact that he cut off federal funds because they were promoting anti-Semitism on their mm-hmm. campuses and allowing it. And I've heard a lot of commentary on this, and nobody thinks Harvard is going to be successful in that.
No.
And they're getting and more of their money cut. Because they're just determined that they're going to be right and they're going to be anti-Semitic all the way through. They've got a hatred of the Jews, as does, and I'm going to say it bluntly, the Democratic Party hates Israel and they hate the Jews. And if you can point to something that they've done constructive for the Jews or anything about that that's positive, let me know because I haven't seen it yet. How about you, David?
Nah, and you know, so many things, like every last one of them voted against, you know, the bill that would say boys are boys and girls are girls.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but mm-hmm. they parade this around, oh, women's rights. But then they vote against something that says, okay, women have rights to, you know, compete against themselves and not men.
Mm-hmm,
it's like,
right.
It's
insane.
It's not about anything that makes sense. It's simply about causing chaos mm-hmm. and confusion in the people because they want their one world leader to come in and just mm-hmm. take over. Yeah. So they have to create. It's the same idea with that Mahdi person that mm-hmm. over there. Mm-hmm. Mahdi is going to come, and Islam believes that the world has to be in chaos for him to actually arise mm-hmm. and take control. So it's the same narrative. They just put a different dress on it. Mm-hmm. The narrative here, they want so much chaos that one person has to arise and take control.
Yeah. Well, right, I'm happy mm-hmm. to see them include in this reconciliation bill limiting these judges. That's going to help a lot in restoring American justice to be able mm-hmm. to see the executive branch of government be able to take actions for the executive branch of government without interference from the judicial, which has no power whatsoever. I mean, when you think about it, they could order anything they want to, and they can't bring up one single soldier to back them up. Trump mm-hmm. could order National Guard to be put back together, you know, activate the National Guard. He could send in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, and the Space Force. He could do all that. Okay, mm-hmm. that's under his power. Yeah, that's under his power in the executive branch, and the judicial could do nothing about it, and the Congress could do nothing about it either. So, you know, they are trying everything they can to prevent President Trump from doing what we elected him to do. And when I say that, I'm talking about the entire population of the United States held a vote in November, and they said, we want him and we want his policies. So, you know, that's not taking a political side or being biased. That's telling you the honest to goodness truth. So mm-hmm. he's trying to restore American justice. We're trying to restore godliness in the world. And I think the two could go together very, very well, where all this anti-stuff, well, that's not restoring anything. That's tearing everything down. David, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah. And again, it's a constitutional republic where we elect people to make decisions on behalf of the corporation of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So we need to trust that, okay, maybe they're not perfect, but these are the decisions they're making. Mm-hmm. Now, if it gets really bad, then we can actually go vote in a quorum and say, hey, listen, we elect you to do something and you're not doing it, so we mm-hmm. can vote them out. But it offers that that separation of that power. Mm-hmm. And the part of the separation of powers is the judicial branch that doesn't make rules. It's not allowed to make
rules. Not supposed to. Not supposed to. They are, but they're not supposed to.
Yeah, not allowed to make decisions. They mm-hmm. can't just arbitrarily decide it's this or that or the other. Mm-hmm. The only thing they're allowed to do is if somebody brings a case, they can make a decision on how that the law that's existing is supposed to be enacted. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they said, They make a decision, oh, okay, well, the president said this, so mm-hmm. that's what has to be, or the Congress made this law, so that's what has to be. They can't mm-hmm. go saying, well, I don't like what the president said, so I'm going to block it and change it. They're just not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. All right, they're there to interpret what it says and then make that, judgment, basically.
Right.
So here we go. We got the ABCs up here. It's real simple. Admit you're a sinner, okay? Because that's a repentance thing. You got to rescind your signature. You believe in your heart. You trust God, and you trust his contract that he made for you, okay? And then you confess that. You need to speak that into existence. So, Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll see you on the next show. In the meantime, accept Jesus as your Savior. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.